How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into our broadcast again at this time, and we're going to pick up our study here in John chapter 9. And we'll pick it up here in verse 13 to catch up on the thought. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, the man that the Lord Jesus healed by anointing his eyes with the clay made of the spittle and told him to go and wash at the pool of Siloam. The man did, and he came seeing. And so his neighbors, his acquaintance, those that noticed that now he can see, they bring him to the Pharisees. And it was the Sabbath day, verse 14, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. John 9:15. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how that he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And as there always is, there's a division because of Christ. Which side of that division are you on? And so verse 17, let's read. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? Okay, young man that's been healed by this one Jesus that you say, what do you say of him? He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, verse 18, that he had been blind. They're talking amongst themselves, saying, now this kid wasn't blind, this man wasn't blind. It's just all a big ruse. They did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Verse 19, and they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? So they ask these questions. Is this your son? Was he born blind? How is it that he can see? Verse 20. That his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. So he is our son. We know that he was born blind. So they know and confirm that. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. So the parents affirm that he is their son, that he was born blind. But when it comes time to testify about how he can see, they say, you've got to ask him. He's old enough. He is of age. Ask him. He'll give an answer. Verse 22. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, or the Messiah, or the Redeemer, he should be put out of the synagogue. Isn't that something, how religious groups, religious organizations, churches and denominations, so-called, have to resort to threatening to keep people in line? Isn't that a shame? Now, granted, there is the Word of God and the truth of God's Word that we need to abide by. And the Lord's churches are duty-bound to abide by the Word of God, and the membership of the Lord's churches are responsible to be accountable to the Lord and one another in obedience and to the Word of God, and not to be involved with public sin and such as that. We are sinners forgiven. We're not perfect. We're still sinners. And we do personally sin. But when there is sin that's public and that is even listed by the Word of God that should not be amongst the people of God, the church is required of the Lord to deal with that. And there's an order for all those things. But here, these folks have been threatening. They've been threatened that even though you might see something that would lead you to believe that this man is the Messiah, if you declare it, we're not going to let you come to worship anymore. Isn't that terrible? A terrible, terrible thing. They would not answer about how their son had been made to see because they were afraid that they would be prevented from going to the synagogue to be able to worship. So sad. His parent therefore said his parents in verse 23, "He is of age, ask him." You know, the scripture is indeed and always presents freedom of the mind. Freedom of the mind. And when we say that, it's not that we can get our doctrine from wherever we want to. And that, no, the Lord's given us his doctrine in the Word of God. But the scripture says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and such as that. Every person is to be convicted by the Lord in their own heart and conscience. There's never to be a thing where the Lord never expects that folks will be physically forced to believe the truth. And so here, a manifestation that even among the Jews where they had made this threat is just very, very sad. And so his parents defer to their son, saying, "He'll answer for himself. We're not answering for him." Verse 24, "Then called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." So they said, don't give any account credit to this fellow. He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." So they say, give praise to God for it. Don't give any recognition to this man for doing so. They believe he is a sinner, they say, because he's transgressed the Sabbath day. And the man says, "Well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But what I do know is I was blind, but now I see." You know, and that's a testimony of sinners that the Lord has saved, is I was blind, but now I see. Was there a time once that you were blind and now Jesus has visited you and saved you and caused you to see? You see things not just from the way of man naturally with our sin and our depravity and our natural bent towards sin and nothing else. But now you see that there can be obedience. There can be obedience through the power of God and the heart and soul of the saved sinner to obey and not sin. That there is a choice now. The sinner without Christ has no choice. The only direction that he can go is to sin against God. But the saved child of God, the sinner that's been saved by the Lord, has had his soul saved. The repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the visitation of the Lord, the salvation of the soul, he knows how to obey. He knows that he can find out how to obey in the Word of God. This man says, "The politics and the things that you guys are chasing, I don't know a thing about it. But the thing I know is I was blind, and now I see." Verse 26, "Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples?" And so he really puts it on them here, and they ask him again. They're questioning him about how the Lord opened his eyes and such. And he said, "Well, if I tell you again, are you going to believe it?" He said, "Are you thinking that you're going to start following him too? Will you also be his disciples?" Oh, they get riled. And in verse 28, "Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples." And so they get their teeth out and they start kind of gnashing on him, if you will. And they reviled him. They said, "You're his disciple, but we're not his disciple. We're Moses' disciples. We're the followers of Moses." We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And so they say, God spake to Moses, and we claim Moses. But this fella, we don't know where he's come from. And we don't give him any honor or recognition at all. Verse 30. This verse is just really great. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. So, wow, he really drops the bomb on him here, if you will. He says, you guys, all my life and all of our lives, speaking of the people, this is what I get out of it. He says, all of our lives, you tell us that you know the way to God. You've got the word of God. You've got the law of Moses, and you instruct us in obedience in service of the Lord. Now here is a man that has made me see, being born blind. There's no record since the world began, verse 32, there's no record of one ever doing such a thing. And you say that you don't know him? This could only be done by the power of God, is the implication. He said, a worshiper of God, a one that does his will, him the Lord heareth. And there's never been a miracle. He said, if God wasn't with this man, he couldn't do this. He couldn't do this at all. And you guys tell us that you know the way to God, and then this man does such a thing that's truly manifests the power of God, and here it's a marvelous thing. You say you don't know him. He said, I just find that very, very strange. He is able to do and manifest the power of God, and you don't know him. They answered and said unto him, verse 34, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. So they were tired of hearing what he had to say. They take back that position that the disciples started off with, that was altogether born in sins, unlike us. We're righteous. We know the truth. We know what's right. But because this man was poor, because he had been a beggar, because he had been born blind, they reason and say, you're just wicked and sinful. You're not going to teach us. And what do? Rather than deal with him and talk about the position that he has and what the Lord has done, they pick him up and pitch him out. Wow. May the Lord help us to understand all about that. Are you without Christ? You need salvation of the soul. Repent of your sins and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save. He is the Savior. He's the only way that you can be forgiven and to be saved. He's the only way that you, being blind, can be made to see. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.